Let's get ready for Noreen Ehrlich, success and relationship coach who inspires her audience to ignore conventional wisdom in order to create true success. You are now listening to Defy and Hustle with Noreen Ehrlich.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to tonight's show. We are here at the studio at the corner of Lewis Street and Mason Street in Greenwich, Connecticut. And it is a lovely summery type of day. So we decided today, instead of talking about anything work-oriented, we would talk today more on the subject of relationships and connection. And we're going to do that in a way that I think you guys are really going to enjoy. So, of course, I'm a life coach, and I do work with people around all of the what I call the five pillars of life. So relationships. It's all relationships, by the way, but relationships, vocation, money and time management, health and fitness, and personal and spiritual development. If you have, in my opinion, if you have those five aspects of your life in reasonable balance in all time, and you have a set a purpose for your life, then this is how you find more fulfillment in life. And at this time in what I'm going to call where there's a paradigm shift going on, we're starting to learn new ways to look at life. So our old ways of looking at relationships are starting to fall away from us, and we're having to learn new approaches around relationships. Our old ways of looking at our careers, where we used to once upon a time think that we would just go out and become an accountant and work for somebody forever and live happily ever after off our pension, those types of methodologies are falling away from us, and we're having to learn to what I call hustle. So when I say defy and hustle, I'm talking about no longer are those old paradigms working. You're going to have to go into yourself and figure out what is important to you, what your core values are, what you find your natural talents are and what your passions are, and really go out into the world and step into it and figure out how to make that something that brings money to you or whatever it is that exchanges that keeps you going and flowing through life. So the old paradigm of success just being around materialism is starting to fall away as we're starting to establish that success to us means happiness, fulfillment, going out into the world each day and being thrilled to be alive and show off our talents and really uplift ourselves, our people that we care about, and also hopefully when we have as much as we do, especially in town, areas like Fairfield and Westchester counties, where many of us have so much, to really have that overflow into the communities. But tonight we are going to talk more about relationships, because especially in light of maybe some of the things we were hearing about, not on a negative, but I walked into the store just to get something to drink a moment ago, and on the front cover of People, they had Anthony Bourdain and Kate Spade, and there is a lot of anxiety, I think, that whether people are showing it overtly or not, there's a lot of people, I do believe, culturally, that are going through a lot of anxiety. It's my understanding that life force is pushing things to the surface so that we deal with aspects of ourselves, aspects of our culture that have long been repressed. And it's forcing it up into our consciousness so that we'll figure out better ways to deal with it than we might have in the past. So when you look on the news and you're just like shocked or appalled, or hopefully you still are a little shocked by and appalled by some of the things we're seeing on the news. In my understanding, it's life is bringing things to our attention that maybe were under the surface in the past, and we're given the opportunity to reevaluate how we'll integrate that into our lives and come up with new ways to go forward with these, the ways that we handle our institutions, our politics, our healthcare, our education, our relationships, our careers. So, all that being said, I wanted to talk about relationships. Now, relationships are more than just intimate relationships. Relationships are our relationship to everything. Everything's a relationship. So, the relationship you have to your children, relationships you have to your employer, your work, your community, your children, your partners. And so the way we look at money is also a relationship. So we're in relationship to everything. That's just the way life's set up. And what I wanted to do with my guests in the room today, who I'm going to introduce, was really start to tap into what makes relationships work versus the relationships that a lot of people, I think, get into nowadays that they may go into with the best of intentions, whether they're married currently, whether they're trying to find somebody to be in a long-term relationship with, whether they're just out there and they're not really sure. I am going to try and help people to understand how to find a connection that maybe people over the last few years and maybe decades, but especially over the last few years while we're connected, that we're even less connected than ever. I'm going to try and walk you through some things that I've worked with in my life coaching. One of them I'll introduce in the second segment, which is called the 7 levels of intimacy. But in the short run, we're going to play a game. So first, I'm going to be the game show host, and we are going to play a game. It's called the 36 Questions That Lead to Love. And this was something that was published in the New York Times Sunday Modern Love section in January 2015. And it was based on a study. And if people, if a couple or anybody shared these 36 questions, they would actually start to fall in love. And it was established that in many cases, they stayed in long-term relationships together. And it was because the questions were designed by a psychologist, and they were exploring whether intimacy between two strangers can be accelerated by having them ask each other a specific series of personal questions. The 36 questions I have in front of me, and of course we're not going to get to all of them, are broken up into 3 sets. Each set will be more probing than the previous one. And I am going to ask my contestants on the show today some questions. The idea behind the questions, folks, and is that vulnerability fosters closeness. And to quote the study's authors, one key pattern associated with the development of a close relationship among peers is sustained, escalating, reciprocal, and personal self-disclosure. So, folks, we don't know who's listening out there, but you're going to start to know us in the room here. Let me start with contestant number 1. Oh, yay!
That's the only one that I could find. So bear with me.
All right, good. Then contestant number 1, that voice you just heard, is Josh. Josh, the engineer.
Yes.
In the room here today at WGCH. Josh, could you tell us very quickly a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and anything else you can give our listeners in the next minute?
I'm about 25 years old. I am born in New York, raised in Connecticut. I currently live in Bridgeport.
Okay.
I went to Penn State University. I also went to the Connecticut School of Broadcasting up in Stratford. And I've been working at WGCH for a little bit over a year.
Josh, we are so thrilled to have you on the relationship show. Thank you very much. Thank you. That's contestant number 1. Contestant number 2 is our co-host. She's lovely. She's beautiful. She's intelligent. She runs her own organization. Please welcome Gina Miranda, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you. Well, I'm Gina Miranda. I am from New York. I have a business in Greenwich, Connecticut, a digital marketing company. I'm married to a great guy named Anthony, and I have a wonderful son named Anthony as well. And I play piano, and my favorite thing in life is my dog, Humphrey. And that's it.
Your husband will be disappointed to hear he was lower on the list, but okay for Humphrey. Everybody, welcome Gina. Thank you very much for being on the show here today. And then our special guest here, she's come to join us today. She's wonderful. She's also beautiful, smart, and running her own organization. This is Dana Hendrickson. Welcome, Dana.
Thank you, Noreen. Hello, everyone. I'm Dana Hendrickson, and I am originally from New Jersey. I'm a Jersey girl, and I'm living in Greenwich, Connecticut, and I have a marketing agency that I run on my own. And what else can I tell you? I love outdoors. I love the community here, so I'm a little ambivalent about tonight of what kinds of questions I'm going to be asked because I was not allowed to know what they were. So, but I'm going to join in the fun here, and I'm happy to be here.
Very good. Everybody, welcome to the show tonight, and thank you for being on the 36 questions that lead to love. And we all hope that you love us after this. Okay. I have in front of me the 36 questions. I am going to choose somebody. They don't know who. And I'm going to choose from level one. Level one is the lowest level of vulnerability. I'm looking around the room. I am not even sure what question I'm going for. I'm looking for my first guest. And I am going to go with contestant number one, Josh. Josh, okay. Are you ready for your question?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, Josh, I'm going to look down. I'm not going to think too hard about this. I'm just going to ask you the first question, and I'm going to give you a few minutes to answer. Okay. I expect honesty. Sure. I expect vulnerability, and I expect something really profound. So get ready.
Oh, no pressure.
Josh, for what in life do you feel most grateful?
For what in life? You know, I wouldn't have told you this up until about a year ago. I'm thankful that I'm healthy for the most part. I've had a couple of recent health scares that a 24, 25-year-old shouldn't normally be going through.
Uh-huh.
And over the past, like, 12 months, it's been a very trying period for me.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that I've been able to get out of this, I guess, you know, valley has been somewhat of a blessing. So I'm thankful most of all for my health. Mm. And I know that's kind of, I mean, you know, it's the thing that means the most to me at the moment. So...
Well, you don't have to say anything you don't want, but you are a contestant. Yeah. So would you be willing to share with the other women in this room, in general at least, the nature of what happened, whether it was an accident or something?
It wasn't.
You're a young man.
It wasn't an accident. I was experiencing abnormal symptoms. I'm not going to get into it.
Right.
But it was enough to where I had to go to the emergency room, and I needed to seek multiple opinions for things. And I'm okay, which is good. A lot of it was just overthinking on my part. I tend to be a little bit of a neurotic type when it comes to my health. I've been a healthy person for the majority of my life, first like 23 years of my life. And then all of a sudden, 23, 24 comes around, and I start feeling differently. My behavior starts changing, and I felt vulnerable. That's a good way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
And the past year, really, it's been a really difficult period, but I'm starting to get out of it, and I'm starting to feel much more like my original self.
That's great.
So,
that's great.
Yeah.
So, can I ask you, so when something like that happens, did you establish a new perspective on what was important to you?
Absolutely.
About life?
I used to not take things very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Just life in general. I used to not have my priorities in order.
Mm-hmm.
Which is probably pretty normal for like a college kid / college graduate. I would say that a lot of us don't have our heads on right. But yeah, it definitely put things into perspective for me. I think at things differently when I wake up in the morning, whenever I'm hit with a difficult period during my day, I tend to think of the positives, and that natural, that just brings about like a natural energy in me that I feel rejuvenated, and it's just totally different. So
if you had one thing that you were going to tell somebody out there that maybe was, that could relate to you, right? You're a young man, you've got a great job, you like this job?
Yeah, I love this job.
All right, good. Yeah. That's a good thing. Because I think the DMs are outside. And if you were going to give advice to anybody your age or anybody who's going through something similar, what advice would you give?
The advice that I would give is what I've been living by for the past X amount of months, just a day at a time. It might sound cliche to people, but it really is. It's very true. Especially in today's age, a lot of people tend to get overwhelmed by things. There's a lot of stuff on people's plates.
There's a lot.
And then when people tend to have a lot on their plate, they tend to overthink, they tend to overreact, they tend to stress out, leading to manifestation, if you will, of a lot of different things. I tend to be very simple. I take it morning by morning, afternoon by afternoon, evening by evening. And it really has helped me in terms of calming me down and being a very mellow personality in comparison to what I was. So that would be my advice.
All right. Good. Very good. I like this contestant. You guys are going to have a hard time.
We're glad you're here.
Yeah, me too. Thank you.
This is a competitive environment. Don't you guys get ready.
I didn't know what I was getting into.
Uh-oh. Contestant number 4 just walked into the room.
I was listening.
Okay, hold on a second. You're going to have to. I wish we had a chair for you.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I'll come up to someone's mic.
Okay, but we do. But first, let's introduce contestant number 4. We have here. She almost backed out on us apparently, but she showed up after all. Her name is Daisy Mello. Daisy, would you please introduce yourself and give us a quick synopsis on who is Daisy?
Okay. My name is Daisy, and I live in Greenwich. I'm from Pennsylvania originally, and I don't know, I work for fabulous people like Noreen, and just do anything and everything that you could think of. So, single, and that's basically it, right?
That is a great summary. Thank you. We're all here. Thank you very much, Daisy, for showing up. So, Daisy was listening. She knows how the game is played. We're going to go on to another question. Everybody, I want you to hold tight. I am going to look at another question. We're going a step deeper. We're going to step 2. And I am looking at my contestants. They're all very stunning ladies. They're all smiling. I can see that some of them look nervous. Okay. I am going to go to Dana. Dana Hendrickson, everybody. Okay. Dana.
Noreen.
If you had a crystal ball, if a crystal ball could tell you the truth about yourself, your life, the future, or anything else, what would you want to know?
Oh, geez.
Wow.
That's deep. There's so much.
Is it? I just went with number 1.
Ball,
if you had a crystal ball and that could tell you the truth about yourself, your life, your future, or anything else, what would you want to know? Don't overthink it, Dana.
I would like to know if I will have love in my life.
I really would,
because I've kind of given up on it.
You have given up on love?
Yeah.
You mean in an intimate relationship?
Yeah.
Have you really given up on it?
I for a long time I have not really seen it. I've had a lot of friends that say you need to lower your standards. I don't think I'm looking for. We all have fantasy. We all have this fantasy in our head of like what love looks like to us and what a partner looks like to us. And I know what that is, and I'm not willing to compromise, and I'm not willing to. Lower my standards, as some people have said that I have to do. So that is something that I do want love in my life. I'm a very passionate person. I like having a buddy to do things. Like, I want someone to travel with. I want someone to sit at the top of a mountain with me and just, you know, not, we don't even have to talk, you know, but that's, I'm just looking for that, that sappy romance that you see in the movies. Is it real? Is it not real? I don't know.
I want you to tell me the truth.
That was the truth.
No, I'm going to ask you another question. This is off the list. I believe you. Do you think you're going to find that love?
I don't know. I don't know.
It's yes or no question.
I'm going to say yes because I'm always a positive person. You know, I mean, I'm saying that I've given up on love and I'm saying I'm a positive person, but I'm just not willing to compromise on what I want out of that.
So the answer was yes.
Yes, because I'm hopeful.
Because the answer can't be no.
Right.
You're not, if you choose no, then you're absolutely not going to find it. So what is it? What is it when you're saying people are telling you that maybe you have to lower your standards around what? Like, what do you think?
Well, I was in love once in my life.
Okay.
He was the love of my life. 5.5 years I dated him, and he was just a perfect balance of everything. He was funny. He was successful. He was good looking. He was adventurous. He traveled. You know, we did so much together. We were never bored. Like, 5.5 years, it was like the first day. And then, you know, one day, he comes home and he says, I'm not really sure what I want. I think you should move out so I can decide. I was gutted, like gutted. And, you know, and not that when I go out with other people, I compare that. But when you have like a benchmark of that in your life and you know what that feeling feels like, mm-hmm. like how do you compromise that? You know, like, I know what that feeling feels like. I know what that love and that passion and that fire feels like. And that's what I want to feel again. And until I feel that, you know, I don't know.
All right. Well, a little bit of relationship. So have you committed? Because you started out, if I remember, that you said I maybe given up, which is not a great place to start.
I've taken a very long hiatus. Let's just put it that way.
Maybe that's fine.
Very long hiatus.
Okay. Have you... do you think you're in a position, right? We're going into the summertime, mm-hmm. right? We're talking about love.
Yeah.
Would you be willing to set a new goal? We talk about purpose mm-hmm. in life, and to make one of your purposes in life right now to really find yourself in a healthy, happy relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
And really commit to doing whatever that takes. Even
yeah.
If that
oh,
takes.
Absolutely.
So
it's just meeting that right. It's easy to meet people.
Right.
It's just not easy meeting the right person.
Well, easier said than done. Yes, I agree with you. And anybody can jump in here too, because I'm just commanding it. But my understanding, I can see Gina loading up. I'll say my one sentence.
She's like,
she's getting ready. She wants to co-host here. So my understanding, I think Gina will say something similar too. She looks a little bit more, she looks ready to take on Dana.
But she knows me well.
Well, we think intimate relationships are there to make us into like a Cinderella, especially women. We're brought up with that Cinderella complex and that we're going to live happily ever after. But my understanding is the life force or the universe, God, whatever you're going to call it, is really introducing us to partners, the right partners at the right time.
Yeah.
That would have us, that see all the beauty in us and also mirror back to us some of those aspects of ourselves where we haven't, either they become unconscious to us, we've repressed them, but where we're not valuing aspects of ourselves yet. And so we have to bring it to the surface. I'm not judging you. Trust me, I can mm-hmm. totally relate to a lot of what you're talking about. But especially if where there's woundedness, a lot of our partners come in to mirror that to us. And people don't understand that they end up attacking their partners. But when I work with my clients, we do some, try and figure out some of the patterns, but do some, I call it soul integration, but to really go in and find those parts of ourselves that, especially when we were young, didn't understand what was happening, didn't mm-hmm. understand how to get love. And so we start to put these different coping mechanisms in place. And now those coping mechanisms are actually sabotaging our success at love. All that being said, folks, I'm letting Gina in here because she looks like she's got something to say to Dana.
So, Dana, I just want to make sure that you're not trying to compare everyone to this 5.5-year love of your life.
No, I'm not.
you're not.
No, the feeling. I want that feeling again. It's not like the things that he... It was the things that he did, but it wasn't like... I'm not comparing his looks, his activities, okay. his set level of success. I'm talking about a feeling. Like a that just... Like... There's not an accurate word for it. It's just like this deep, deep, deep feeling for this person that you just... You want to just crawl inside their skin.
Wow, that's deep. Brace yourself. No. Dana's lovely. She's a... she's a deep woman. And I said, if you read Deeper Dating by Ken Page, for those of you out there, that's one of these great books, Deeper Dating by Ken Page. He'll tell you to really value the parts of ourselves that we often feel most vulnerable mm-hmm. with. And I know you've described yourself as an emotional lady. I'm certainly very sensitive
as
well.
Yeah, and very sensitive.
So, and that can make it very hard for us because mm-hmm. we get dinged easily. But to really find somebody who values that about us because we can be really loving women too and, mm-hmm. and really – when we love our men, we love that.
I'm a great catch.
Oh, and Dana's a great catch.
You
really
are.
Yes, you are. All right. Well, we have time to keep going? All right. Okay, folks. Well, that was Dana. And that was a really competitive, compared to question number one. I'm going to put Dana in the running. I liked hers, too. I liked hers. She's looking for love. I have got a question for... I'm going to go with Daisy. Daisy, I'm going to pull a question for you.
Get on my knees.
And pray.
Because
you don't know what the question's going to be.
Okay, and I don't know what the question's going to be. Daisy, I want you to share with the listening audience. Ready?
Yeah.
Share with the listening audience an embarrassing moment in your life.
Oh my gosh, how much time do you have? an embarrassing moment. I don't know. That's like really hard to think about.
Because there's too many?
Yeah, well, no, because it's like, it's embarrassing.
What's the first
thing? Oh, I remember. Okay. It was 4th of July, and I had gone to... somebody's house party, and I lived in Pennsylvania, so we drove an hour and a half to go to New York City. Then we parked about 20 minutes away from the house. We finally get to the house, and as I go there, and I'm like, oh, I just want a drink. So I go into the refrigerator, open the door, and as I bend down, my pants rip. I do not have an extra set of pants. My car is 20 minutes away, and it's like 11:30 at night. So I was like, what am I going to do? I have no pants and stuff. So I ended up wearing the ripped pants, showing my underwear the entire night. And that was pretty – and I didn't know anybody at the party except for like one other person. So it was kind of embarrassing.
That is
a little embarrassing. So.
All right.
That was a pretty easy question. It wasn't
deep.
It's good. Okay.
She's saving all those for Josh and me.
Wait, you got to – that was too easy.
Oh,
ripped pants, Daisy. All right, come on. All right, we're going deeper. That wasn't vulnerable. I'm hearing the audience. They're not thinking that was vulnerable enough.
It really wasn't because it was like when I was 21, 22.
Okay. Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
We're going with... okay.
I feel like I should have a drum roll. Is there a drum roll?
What, if anything, is too serious to be joked about?
Too serious. I think for me, it's situational. It's like if something, I think we all, in my opinion, we all are triggered by certain things. Mm-hmm. So it's like if something someone's, for me, for example, it's if I ask for help with something and I'm very self-sufficient and then someone like questions why I'm asking for help, I get very defensive and they try to like joke about it. But I'm like, you know how hard it is for me to ask for something? So I think it's like, because people could say like, oh, it's not funny to laugh at someone that falls, or it's not funny to laugh at somebody that like has some sort of mental issue and whatever. But that's, I think it's all relative. So it's, I think it depends on the person. I just think it just depends on how, like, I think it's emotional. I think it's like stuff that if you were bullied in school for having a scar in your arm, then it's like, then it's not okay to joke about that scar. But for someone else, they're like, well, I've had a scar on my face my whole life, so it's okay to joke about it. But it's just, so I think the answer for that, for me personally, is.
For you personally.
For me personally.
I'm not worried about anything.
Oh, okay. Here. Okay. I mean, that's like something that I don't think is funny to joke about. I don't think it's funny to joke about.
For you personally.
For me, I know, I hate getting deep. Why do we gotta do this? Is like, I should be paying you for this therapy.
Well, I heard you say something. I don't want to get too deep, but
yeah, yeah,
I heard
yeah.
you say something that you don't like to ask for anything. If anybody
like questions it, it's like, you know, as my job is like a personal assistant, my job all day is to do things for other people. So it's very hard for me to ask for someone to do something for me, because then I feel guilty about it. It's this weird, like, I'm more of a server. I'm like always like, let me help you, let me do this. And then it's like, if someone reciprocates, I'm like, oh my gosh, why are you doing that for me? I feel so bad and stuff. And I'll give you an example. That weird random snow day that we had, it was like, I think it was like 2 months ago. All of a sudden it was like sunny, and then it was like snowing, like, and all the school buses were like delayed, and it was just this weird day. Now I have a crappy Honda Civic. This thing will not do anything in the snow. And part of my job sometimes is to drive kids around. So I'm thinking, this is a liability. I'm driving these kids around. I don't want to put them in this car. One of my clients called me out of the blue. I haven't talked to her in like a month or two. She's like, hey, so I'm traveling and I was thinking about you and it's snowing. If you want to borrow my car. And she's got this beautiful Jeep that's safe. And I burst into tears and I was like, I can't believe that you thought of me and thought that I needed this. And then I felt bad. I was like, oh, I feel so bad. Like, because I didn't ask for it, then I feel like I'm asking for it. So it's just very hard for me to like accept help. And it's a trigger for me in a sense of if I am asking for help, then it's like this desperate thing where maybe I'm like bleeding on the ground. I don't know. And if you're going to question it, well, I don't know. What time do you need me to take to the hospital? Well, I'm kind of bleeding here. I'm like, you know, my leg is like kind of like off my, you know, my, so maybe whenever you get a chance, I probably have like 10 minutes or something. And then they're like, well, I got to get my hair done. And then it's like, at that point, then I'm shutting down. Then I'm like, I'm never asking you for anything again, because you know how hard it was for me to ask you to help me like with this? Like, it's so hard. So, and they're like, come on, it's just whatever. Like, they joke about it. So that was like the trigger for me.
Very good. A woman is very good at the giving part, and we are learning about how to receive. Okay. Well, that was very good. It took a second to get it out of her, but she came out. She told everybody else, but we finally got it out of her. Okay. Are we good on time there, Josh? You're still in the running. I still liked yours. I really, really liked yours a lot. So hold on a second. We have got in as our final contestant, who hasn't spoken yet, about the 36 questions that lead to love. I am going to pull a question for Miss Gina. Miss Gina, everybody. Okay, Gina, I am going to ask you. I asked you that one already earlier today when we were practicing. Okay.
Yeah, we didn't get a first. Yeah.
Like, oh, I had practice. A practice. Okay.
She's not asking any of the same questions.
Right.
Okay. Okay. Sorry, they're partner questions. Here's a question for you, Gina. When did you last cry in front of another person or by yourself?
Yesterday.
Oh, my God.
You did?
Yes.
Why?
Well, because my son has nephrotic syndrome. And he's had it since he was 5, and now he's 11. And he takes a lot of medications, and he's been doing better. And I thought we could take him off the medication, so we took him to the hospital to get a workup, and we found out that we can't take him off the medications. And he was really disappointed. You know, anytime my son's sad about something, it makes me sad. So I began to cry because – It's just been 6 years of hospitals and medications and just back and forth and him being uncomfortable. And I feel like I can't make a change in this situation. Like I have no control over it. Mm-hmm. So it just broke my heart to tell him, you know, we just got to keep going, you know. I was positive, but when I left the room after speaking to him, I went into my room and cried.
What is, can I ask you, what's the name of the?
Nephrotic syndrome. So it's an autoimmune disease. It's one of the many autoimmune diseases people have, but this one is where the kidney attacks itself. And like all of the autoimmune diseases, there's no cure. So, you know, some people, when they go, some kids, when they go through puberty, only boys, it goes away, something about going through puberty. So he's 11, so I'm very hopeful that either A, God's going to heal him, or B, when he goes through puberty, he'll get healed.
And can I ask you, I'm just, I knew something, but I never really knew what it was. So what are some of the
symptoms
he has?
The kidneys are not filtering the way they should because they're attacking themselves. So there's lesions on them. And as a result, like it spills protein into his blood. So what they have to do is they have to put him on steroids and immunosuppressants. And what the immunosuppressants do is they suppress his immune system. In turn, he gets sick over everything because he has a compromised immune system. So if you have a common cold and you come to my house and you sneeze on him, he doesn't have a common cold. He has a raging common cold that turns into bronchitis, that turns into something else. So he's pretty much in discomfort on a regular basis. He has a lot of mouth sores that he gets, you know, every few weeks. He gets strep throat constantly. So he lives in this state of being sick, not because of the kidneys, but because of the meds that suppress his immune system. He picks up everybody else's problems, you know, health problems. And if we don't give him this medication, then his kidneys will fail. And then, you know, you could do a kidney transplant. The problem is with this disease, 50% of people that get a kidney transplant, within 12 hours of the transplant, the new kidney has the same problem.
So when you're crying because
he has to keep going through this.
Because it's just, mm-hmm.
And watching your kid, you know, go through that is very difficult.
I can't even imagine. I can't. I don't have a child. I can't even imagine. But that's.
But so I woke up fine. I went to sleep crying, and joy came in the morning.
Can I interject
something
about her? I, for the longest time, did not know that her son had any kind of a health issue. I worked side by side with her. She somehow is able to go about her day with a smile on her face, pleasant to everyone, without missing a beat. I mean, she amazes me. She really amazes
Thank
me.
Thank you, Dana.
No, you do. You really do.
You are amazing. The only reason I knew about it.
Such respect for her.
As do I. Gina's a great lady. I mean, great, when I say great, it's like, I know that word gets thrown around, but she's admirable.
I would be in a
admirable.
Corner, like, crumbling. I say that to her all the time, like, how do you get through your days, you know, when it's really bad, you know, because it's been really bad.
How do you get through your days, Gina?
You know, I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. and I spend time with him every morning. I get up at 4 a.m. I spend the first hour of my day just in his presence, and just, you know, having him in my life, and God just continues to lift me up. So last night I went to sleep sad, and I woke up this morning and I felt God's presence, and I knew that he loved me, and I know he loves my son more than I love him. And I just had this confidence that he's going to go before us and make everything right. So no matter the situation in my life, God is my rock, and that's how I get through my day.
I think, I don't know how Gina and I, no, she's laughing now, but Gina and I came together about a year ago, but I do think I was fumbling through how I was going to put myself out there and stuff, but even I was coming, just scared to come out, especially in a town like Greenwich, as somebody who would be considered a spiritual coach, and I don't necessarily, I was brought up Catholic, and then I converted to Judaism when I married a Jewish man, and I didn't really practice it that much, but there was certainly I'm more Jewish, I feel like, now, than because I've been Jewish most of my adult life. And then I was in India, and they converted me to Hinduism. So, and then I worked in Japan. So I just studied every philosophy. But I do think at least that Gina and I connect because we do have a higher faith, if you will. Mm-hmm. So when I work with my clients, I do work with them on a very practical level, but very much on a soul level to look at why is this happening, because we do believe, and we wanted to talk during the show, that at the end of the day, your life purpose is to go out there and be the best version of yourself, and that the life force, and if you're calling that Jesus Christ, you're calling it God, or you're calling it the universe, mm-hmm. or people are using these words nowadays, whatever that word is for you, that higher force has always got your best interest in mind, even when you're in a painful place. Mm. It's trying to, have you love yourself and go out there and really be courageous. Well, I say be courageous, hold yourself sacred, mm-hmm. and then have fun with life, because it's mm-hmm. life's supposed to be fun. And I think somehow we got schooled so much around fear. When I talk about the new paradigm, I'm really talking about life pushing us into an understanding that those fears aren't real, mm-hmm. and we have to start to bring them to the surface and work through them and reconnect even neurons in our brains to understand that we might be afraid of relationships, you might be afraid of switching jobs, you might be afraid of losing our money, but we have to work through those fears because we're the only ones blocking ourselves in, and mm-hmm. we really have to let that love that we're made of shine through, because other people need that also, need us to be loving so that we can bring it out in them. I hope that made some sense. But
no, it made sense.
That makes sense. Oh, do we have to go to break?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, folks, we're going to go to break. This is Defy and Hustle with Noreen Ehrlich and Frank. Okay, everybody, welcome back to Defy and Hustle with Noreen Ehrlich. We're in the studio. We're playing the 36 questions that lead to love. But we wanted to take a moment here because we had talked about levels of intimacy and relationships, and it was interesting to me, heartbreaking to me at times, when we get into relationships and we really care about people and we can't get them to go to another level, and so the relationships end up breaking down. And I do think that our parents may have meant well, but I know my clients, they all come in to me with stories where it sounded like a lot of their upbringing was dysfunctional. And so they didn't learn the tools they may have needed to understand what a really healthy, loving, long-term, authentic relationship is about, even if it's not long-term, but just to be in a healthy relationship. So in my own heartbreak at times of trying to make a marriage work or a relationship work, and knowing I was a loving woman and just not understanding it, I basically read everything I could read and studied under some great teachers. And so I'm a really wonderful person to work with. If you are trying to find that love, do look me up at NoreenEhrlich.com and I can help you. I think it's different than going out there and getting more, you know, volume in your lips or anything like that. I think it's going to be more important to do the inside work. That's just me. But okay, I also want to talk about the fact that relationships are about meeting each other's needs. And so in an effort to meet each other's needs, we have to start to be vulnerable, as we were trying to be with you here today. And there is a book called The 7 Levels of Intimacy. There's a lot of different books out there, again. But what I really liked about this book is it talks about, as you're getting into a relationship with anybody, and even if that's somebody you're just meeting at Starbucks, there's different levels. And at the end of the day, if we're going to be with somebody who really is going to be there and have us become the best versions of ourselves, and we're going to help them to become the best version of themselves, we have to be able to share these 7 levels. And you're not going to share them with everybody, but with those people who are the primary relationships in your life, you're really going to have to go to places that are a little, not just a little scary. They can be terrifying for a lot of us. I mean, they're really terrifying because they open up old wounds. So I wanted to talk about the fact that we've become a culture that is centered, I believe, around the first two levels, which is cliches and facts. And so we talk to each other. We talk to each other over texts and Facebook and put up pictures and this and that. And I'm not against that. I'm just saying that we become happy birthday and hey, how are you and this and that. And that's very like cliche versus really saying how are you to somebody. Or where maybe a husband and wife get together at the end of the day and they go, you know, how was your day? It's not like, well, you know, I went to meet Gina and Dana and we talked about how the show was going to be and I walked the dog and then I also, you know, arranged, you know, my guests and this and that. They're trying to, what you really want to get to is something that's more meaningful. It's like, how was your day? How are you? Who are you?
Yeah, I love that.
Gina, I mean, why don't you talk about the third level?
The opinions?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the opinions is revealing more about yourself and offering the gift of acceptance to others. So that's where really letting someone know, like, how you feel about things, you know, and bring excitement and enthusiasm into a relationship. So whatever the subject is, you know, you're talking about, like, Dana likes to do exciting things. If she were to sit with a guy that she's on a date with and she says, you know, I want an adventure. So how great would it be if he would say, yeah, what type of adventure do you want? You know, this is the type of adventure I want. Why don't we plan this? That's having an opinion and her opinion, and that's, we want that.
And respecting each other's opinion without feeling like if somebody doesn't agree with us,
right,
at the particular place, because we're all on our different trajectories, just not to be like, well, that person doesn't agree with me, therefore, out you go.
Well, like say, oh, that's dumb. Who cares about hiking?
Yeah, who cares here?
Right? That would be a bummer.
Well, there are a lot of those.
I'm sure.
But I also have to say, you know, part of that also is, you know, meeting each other in the middle. You know, like maybe I might not be interested in doing something that you're interested in doing, but, you know, meet in the middle and let's do it and see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, and that's adds substance to a relationship. You know, if you're off doing your own thing and I'm off doing my own thing, you know, and there's nothing that's happening in the middle, you know, together, then there's like, you're building a foundation. You know, you're building memories, you're building a foundation. And that, to me, creates such intimacy.
If you're going to be off doing your own things, it's one thing to be off doing your own things. But there's another thing. If you're going to be totally off doing your own things, then what's the point of being in the relationship?
Right.
What about, okay, Dana, I wanted to, you read to us about number four.
The hopes and dreams.
Yes.
Setting aside instant gratification and building a future together. I think that is probably one of the biggest. I think especially in this area, you know, we live in a society that is, you know, disposable and, you know, looking for instant gratification. We've got, you know, all of social media. We have everything that's happening. But I think building a really great relationship takes a lot of work.
And sharing, I mean, oh, it's about, like, sharing what you want in life.
Mm-hmm.
And you're hoping when you talk to this other person, we were actually, you're talking to the other person and you're saying, well, I really want to be in a long-term healthy relationship. That's a risk to tell somebody because I still had to do it myself. And I still tell my clients at some point early on, we actually have to say that because we were taught, especially as women, to keep hoping and contorting ourselves to try and fit into the relationship. But somewhere we have to be honest with ourselves about what we're looking for and be honest with the person we're with to see if there is some synergy there and not, at least not lie to ourselves. And I think a lot of us lie to ourselves just in order to have somebody. But but you could explore it and say, this is my dream, and find out what their dreams are and see if there's synergies. Oh, whoop, we don't have a lot of time. Well, the other level is about feelings and sharing your feelings and trying to acknowledge each other's feelings.
Right.
Now you start getting deeper when you start to see the faults and fears that another person has and to stand with somebody like you would your child. You don't run away from somebody once they start showing their vulnerabilities. We all have them. And then to really express our legitimate needs from a partner. I'd love to get into these seven levels another time. We're running out of time. I do want to We have 1 minute. We didn't notice the only one who wasn't asked any questions tonight was me. But one day you can get into me. I'll talk more about myself. But I do want to tell you the main levels, the part that people aren't getting into, are the opinions, the hopes and dreams, the expression of each other's feelings without judgment, expressing our faults and fears, which sometimes come up unexpectedly. I mean, that's what it's about, folks. You can't run away. And expressing our needs. Okay, folks, we're going to have a great show for you next week as well. We're going to have on a brilliant local artist. His name is Joseph Dramodi. He's an award-winning local artist from Greenwich. He's a musician, a designer, and his work has been featured in Architectural Digest, Serendipity, New England Home Magazine. And he recently founded Harold Avenue Studios, an online collective of artists. He'll be on the show talking about his latest projects and community involvement. Everybody, tune in next week when Joseph is here. Thank you very much. Goodbye from...
Thank you.